Welcome to Behind the Scenes with the Artists. I'm Sal Monaco here, along with Todd Matina. Todd, how are you today?
I'm excellent, Sal. How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Good.
So welcome to the show.
Thanks. And, great to be here.
First off, what got you into doing five-minute segments?
I would have to say Richard. You know, he's like a he's like this beacon of artistic integrity in Buffalo. He draws people into the home of the future, and you just can't help but get sucked into his world of performance, of expressing yourself. He's really quite the genius.
Yeah, yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. I mean, this city really owes him a humongous amount of debt.
I agree. Now, what kind of subject matter do you use in your segments?
Most of it, I think everything has been life experiences or things that have happened to me in my life. I have a really great life. It's really fantastic, and it's filled with just characters. They're just some really screwy people in my life. So, you know, a lot of the stuff from the DVD or that's on the 5-minute video is basically just me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my friend Sarah, who was like crazy. She was like this insane woman that I used to hang out with, and she'd get into fights all the time. So anytime I went out with her, it was literally like going out with a loaded gun. So there were tons of stories from her. A lot of them were edited out. There were stories about there's people on my block. You know, I almost got killed by this guy who was jealous of his girlfriend had a thing for me. I did a whole bunch of other things of things that have happened in my life. And the one segment that got the most was the stuff about my son.
Mm-hmm.
Because my son's handicapped. So I just talked really truthfully about him, and that seemed to draw a huge response. So that was pretty interesting.
I see. What about, what were you talking about him? Like, what, he has a handicap, you said?
No, he has a handicap. He's he's autistic. He's nonverbal autistic.
And, I see. So
people are always, it's a very strange reaction that I get from people who don't understand autism, who don't understand me or my life. And they see him and they really don't know what to think. And I've been through so much incredible amounts of pain with this child. That it's really affected me deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And I usually don't talk about it. So when I talked about it on the 5-minute video series, I got this huge response from people that were, I think they misconstrued what I was trying to say. You know, I was talking about, it was about God's mercy, and I was trying to set up the scene as far as that, you know, I look around this world and I really don't see that much of it. And in fact, I don't see any of it. And they kept saying, well, maybe you're the instrument of God's mercy. But I think that they're failing to see that, you know, this is just a really small part of the world is my son, where if you look around the rest of the world, there's really tragic things happening that nobody can stop it, and nobody can be the instrument of God's mercy. And I was just shocked that so many people thought that I was misreading what I was seeing in my own life.
I see. Well, do you think it's ironic that you're talking here about God's mercy, but in the upcoming movie, Sweet Jesus, you're going to be playing the devil?
You know, so the funny thing is, there's not a day that goes by that somebody doesn't call me the devil. So, no, I thought it was very ironic. Actually, funny thing about the movie is Greg, who's the director. Greg Sterlis, yeah. He called me up and said, Todd, you know, you were in Failure, and we liked you a lot, and we wrote this other movie called Sweet Jesus, and we wrote this part for the devil, and I really didn't want you to be the devil. He said, but every time me and Paula wrote lines for the devil, all we could see was you saying them, so that's why I'm calling. Do you want to do this? And of course I accepted it. You know, it was a great honor.
So are you happy with the role of the devil?
Actually, I'm very pleased with it. I think a lot of people don't. Even this movie, I think, doesn't really portray the devil as the way that I would see the devil. But, you know, it's just kind of a fun role. It's clever. It's cute.
Well, how would you see the devil?
Well, you know, when I was a kid growing up, I used to go to Catholic schools and CCD classes.
Me too.
And yeah, okay, so you understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really amazing to me that how badly trained people were in their own religion. I remember there was a time I was probably like in eighth grade or something, and we're having a CCD class, and one of these religious teachers says to me, well, you know, the body and blood of Jesus, you're drinking that and eating that on Sunday, and, you know, that's symbolic of his love. I said, whoa, you're Catholic. She's like, yeah. I said, well, it's not symbolic. It's real. It turns into actual blood and actual flesh. And she said, no, it's a symbol. It's a symbol. And if you look at the Catholic religion, the faith, one of the things is, I think it's called transubstantiation. Transubstantiation mm-hmm. means that the actual wine turns into blood, and that the actual body, the host, turns into body. So she really didn't know what she was talking about, because it's true. It turns into blood and actual flesh. It's a cannibalistic kind of ritual that you're going through. So when I realized that they didn't know what they were talking about, I also realized that, you know, I had a couple of teachers who said something about, you know, the devil is this wonderful being that was created and was on the left hand of God and was cast down because he got envious, and he was, you know, almost as smart as God and stuff like that. And you always see these caricatures of the devil, of this big boogeyman, you know, he spits fire or whatever, he's got a red tail and all these cute little things like that, and he's always just, he's just malicious and evil and really, really stupid. You always see him as really, really stupid, where in my idea is if this was a being that evolved over millions of years, he'd be really, really smart. He'd be incredibly smart.
So it was kind of like in George Burns' third movie, Oh God, You Devil. That was more like the kind of devil you'd want, right?
I didn't see the third one. I only saw the first one. Oh. And I thought that George Burns did a great job as far as, you know, representing what God was like. It was like when I was a kid, there was always this great little question, is God so strong that, or so omnipotent that he can make a rock that's so big that even he can't lift it? And everybody's, you know, I mean, you're a kid, so, you know, if you're, wow, that's so cool, that's so deep, man, I wonder, and you think about it. It's a dumb question, because there's an answer to the question. It's a very simple answer. The answer is yes. It's just yes. It's God can do it, and God can lift it, and God can't lift it, and God can do anything that he wants, because that's what omnipotence is really about. And people don't understand omnipotence. They think that omnipotence is always omnipotent good, and there is no good or evil in omnipotence. It's just omnipotence. You can do and say and feel and know everything. So that includes, like, the joy a serial killer feels when he's, you know, killing a family. You know, does God know that joy? Yes, God knows that joy. You know, God knows all the infinite joys, and God knows all the infinite sorrows, and he knows every twisted thing that we've ever done. That's what the real idea of God is about. But, you know, we're humans, we're these kind of like chimp brain things that basically want a reward system. That's the only way that we can be controlled, is if you know, either hit us with a stick or promise us gold at the end of the rainbow. And we've twisted that so far that, you know, we've come up with books and we've come up with these ideologies that really don't fit into, you know, what really humans are about.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
So tell us about being in Failure. What was that like for you?
Failure was really cool. It was really fun. Greg called me up, and, you know, or I was on the show a couple of times, and he asked if I wanted to be in it, and he saw me as this goofy character of, I was a basketball coach. If you know me, I'm 5'4". There's no way I'd ever play basketball. Anyhow, and that was kind of charming. It was a fun thing to do. It was really just fascinating to watch everybody, how the whole production gets made, how unbelievably long and boring it is to make a movie. You know, it really is. I remember there was one scene where I had to walk across a park. This is great. I had to walk across a park, and I'm meeting with some basketball players. So I walk across the park, so they shoot from a different angle. So I walk across the park, so they shoot from a different angle. They walk park. Across the park, slow it down, speed it up. So I do this like 8 times. It literally takes a half an hour to do this thing. It's just walking maybe around 150 feet, but it's 8 times to do this. It's, right. It's driving me nuts, you know? And then at the end, the whole scene is cut out of the film. So, but it's really neat. It's just so neat to do it. But nobody, you know, I mean, anybody who's involved in these productions isn't doing it for the money or the glory or anything. It's just, you know, it's just letting the creative side of yourself out. It's showing the world that you're not afraid, that you can do these things, and that you're proud of who you are and you're proud of the work that you're going to be doing.
Yeah. So what other things have you acted in besides the 2 movies and Greg's show?
That's about it. You know, I've never had any real experience. Oh, you know what? I did have experience when I was in 7th grade. I played an Indian. I can remember that. I'm a Cherokee, Chippewa, something. I'm an Indian, too.
Now, you also do music, too. You have several musical pieces that are going into the Sweet Jesus as well.
I think I had one in the last movie in Failure, and I have, I think, five right now in this movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I've been playing since I was, you know, every kid when they're young picks up a guitar and decides that he can play. So I picked up this guitar. I'm like, I don't know, like 12 years old. My parents say, oh, well, he's interested in the guitar. Well, I played cello at first, and then I was interested in the guitar. So they got me a guitar teacher who was, you know, awfully. It was like every guitar teacher I ever had. They're just lousy. So I put down the guitar for about a year, and then I met this really cool kid who became my best friend, you know, all through high school and college, Peter Robillard, and he showed me a song. What was it? Give a Little Bit. It was like this stupid little song. It's a 2-chord progression. There's nothing to it. And he showed me how to play it. It was like really easy, showed me how to play it, and that was it. I was hooked, because what I really wanted to do was play the songs that I heard on the radio. So I learned that, and then he'd show me other songs. Then we'd learn songs together, and then I'd learn songs on my own. And I learned a little bit of how to read music and how to transpose music, and then tablatures came out, and then everything became really easy. So I started buying guitars. I got lots of guitars. I got keyboard. I got cello. I got flute. I learn to play a little bit on everything. It's fun. I don't play out. I don't join bands. I really don't perform that much. I do it all for my own amusement. That's it.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Now, what do you do in your everyday life?
Oh, I'm a carpenter. I'm a construction carpenter for ECMC. I work for the county.
Hospital.
Yeah. I was laid off from my job downtown. I was a carpenter, a regular carpenter downtown for about 9 years. And then they switched me over to ECMC, where I became a construction carpenter. It's an interesting thing. I've been doing carpentry since I was 14 years old. And
Ask you to give blood.
at the hospital?
Yeah.
Oh, well, they ask for everything at the hospital. They're very interesting people.
Well, the construction, so you basically work on areas of the hospital?
Yeah, my current project is we're building a new GI wing. So I'm building, what do they call them, holding areas for patients who have just recovered from GI. I've built x-ray rooms. I've worked on the ER room, OR. Recently there was a fire there. I did a lot of work in the laundry. You know, there's work constantly in the hospital, and they're always revamping it. There's probably like, I think there's like there's at least 6 real hardcore construction carpenters there that really know what we're doing. And then they've got a lot of maintenance carpenters, and, you know, they do stuff too. It's a neat job.
Very good.
Yeah.
So is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
Not really, Sal. I mean, how long have you been doing this?
How long have I been giving interviews?
Yeah.
About 10 years now.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? So, but this specific thing is the internet, right?
Yes.
Okay, so how long have you been doing internet interviews?
About half a year.
Yeah? You like it?
Oh, yeah.
So where can you listen to
it? It's a lot different from live radio.
Is it? Now, you do live radio, too, BNY, which is my favorite station.
Right.
And, I've heard you on there a couple of times. Yeah. You and Tom. How's Tom doing?
He's doing fine.
Good.
Okay, I guess that'll wrap it up. Thank
Okey-doke.
You very much for being on the show, and hopefully everyone will get to know the person who is Todd Mattina.
Deeply and intimately.
Deeply and intimately after seeing your segment.
Yeah. Thank you, Sal.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank
Take
you very
care,
much,
mate.
Todd.
Bye-bye.